We get to hear now from Becky McGregor. She's kind of on her retirement tour. And so hopefully this is not the last time we'll see you on this side of glory. But if not, in glory, we'll see you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. I'm very thankful for Allegheny Baptist Church. It was one of my first supporting churches, and I'm thankful for your 38 years of faithful financial support and prayer support. I know that people at home were praying because that's what kept me on the mission field and kept me going. And so I thank you for that. Tonight, I would just like to share how God worked in my life to mold me into his servant. We were singing about grace, and the pastor was talking about grace, and that's what I see, God's grace in my life and God's blessing that he gave me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And as I think of that verse, I am amazed that the Creator God, the Almighty God, the Sovereign God, has a plan for each one of his children. Each one of us, he has a plan for, and he had a plan for me. And so we need to find God's plan and to follow it. So now, as I went into retirement mode, you know, I was thinking of retirement as I came home, and what should I say? I started looking back over my life, and on the mission field, another one of the missionaries was retiring, and she had been there 35 years, and so she was giving her little report. She said, 35 years of 35 blessings, and I thought, well, I could do that, 40 years and 40 blessings, but it was going to be way too long as I started writing down all those blessings, so I have shortened it some, so you're okay. As I look back over my life, one of the first blessings that I saw was family. God was so gracious to put me into a Christian family. And so from an early age, I learned about Jesus Christ, accepted Jesus as my Savior at an early age. And then God moved our family to Erie, Pennsylvania, and we started going to Bethel Baptist Church. I was in junior high at that time, and that was a time of great spiritual growth in my life. They had a great youth group there, and I could tell that I was growing spiritually. When I was in ninth grade, there was a special speaker, and at the end of his week of speaking, he gave an invitation to anyone that would willingly give their life to the Lord for full-time service. And that's at that time that I knew that God was calling me and wanting me to go forward and to do that. Then the speaker did a very special thing, and that was there was several young people up there, and he looked out in the audience and he said, "Now, if the parents of these people are here, the young people that are here, if you will support and encourage your young person, your child, to go into missions or full-time service, please come forward and stand with them." And I was blessed because my parents came forward, and they have been some of my best supporters. They have passed away now, but all through my career and getting ready, they were supportive of me and encouraged me to go ahead and move forward with God. And another way that God is gracious to us is that he does need to change us. When we first accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and we begin changing. And I'm very glad that he doesn't change us all at one time. He doesn't just throw everything at us at one time, but he takes little steps, step by step. And I could see that in my life. As a ninth grader, as a teenager, I said, "I will never be a teacher. I could be a nurse, but I will never, never be a teacher." Well, when I was in 11th grade, there were only two students in the high school Sunday school class. And so the Sunday school superintendent came to us. It was another girl and I, and the Sunday school superintendent said, "Well, we would like you to teach the 3- and 4-year-olds. Do you think you would like to do that?" Well, we said yes, because it didn't seem like teaching. I mean, we were just going to have fun with little 3- and 4-year-olds. And so we started teaching them, and we taught together for 2 years, and she had to go off to college. But I was going to nursing school right very close to where I lived. We had every weekend off, and so all 3 years of nursing school, I still continued teaching the 3 and 4 year olds. And I had a wonderful time teaching them. They are a lot of fun. If you've ever taught little children, they love their teacher, you know. And if you say, we don't sing a song, yes, let's sing a song. Would you like to hear a story? Yes, let's hear a story. They're always excited about what you're going to do. But that had to stop when I started nursing, because you don't get every weekend off as a nurse. And so I was able to get a schedule where I had every Wednesday off. And when at the church I was at then, they came and said, would you like to work in Pioneer Girls? And I said, okay, yeah, I'll work there. Well, they gave me junior high girls. Junior high girls are a little different than 3 and 4 year olds. It was more of a challenge with them. But God gave the grace and God gave the ability to work with them. And again, I didn't think of it as teaching because it was a club. And we did many different things. It wasn't like I was standing up there teaching them. We were just doing things together. And then because I was working in Pioneer Girls, God gave me the opportunity to go to camp, Camp Careth of Western New York. And I just visited up there again. Some of the same counselors that were there when I was there are now in administration. And so I had a wonderful time there. But in camp, I went the first year just for 2 weeks to see what it was like, and that's all the vacation I had. And I worked as a counselor, and it was wonderful. I thought, oh, I'm going to come next year. I'll just do this every summer. And so the next year I went, and for the first 3 weeks of camp, I was a counselor, and I was having a wonderful time. And then the camp director came to me and said, well, we don't have a division. I was working with the junior high girls again. We don't have a division director for the junior high girls. We would like you to do that for the last 2 weeks of camp. I'm not a leader. I thought, no, I'm a follower. I'm very good at following other people, but I'm not very good at leading. But I said, okay. And I have to let you know that it was the worst 2 weeks of my life. I felt like a real failure. In fact, I didn't know how to handle conflict. And for some reason, those 2 weeks, we were having a lot of conflict between campers, between counselors and campers. And I didn't know what I was doing. And so I left camp very discouraged, thinking, well, I really messed that up. They'll never ask me to come back again. And so I was going off to Bible school, and here's where the grace of God comes in. All through the year at Bible school, studying the different things that we had, God kept bringing ideas. Now, you could do that. You could handle it this way. You could work at camp, and you could do it this way. But I thought, no, they'll never ask me to come back. So in the spring of that year, I get a letter from the camp director. And she said, oh, we would like you to come for all the whole summer at camp and to be the division director the whole summer. I thought she was crazy. Why would she put me in that position? But God used that. And he used her to mentor me, to show me how to lead, how to handle conflict between people. And I'm very, very grateful for that training that I had there. But there I was. I should have been ready to go. I finished my nurse's training. I'd worked several years as a nurse to get experience. I finished my Bible training, and should have been ready to go to the mission field. But you know, sometimes we put a stop on things. Sometimes we rebel against God, and we say no to God. Of course, I wasn't saying no. I said I can't. Because I found out you needed to travel around to different churches and speak in front of groups of adults and to even ask for money. And I said to God, I can't do that. I was really saying, I won't do that. Now, God had led me all the way. I should have realized he would have been there with me. But I said, no. But God is gracious. And he had one of my fellow counselors from camp who had worked in Bangladesh as a short-termer. not in nursing, in another field, but she came back, and that summer at camp, she said, you should just write to them. They use short-term nurses. See if they can use a short-term nurse. So I said, okay, I'll try that. So I wrote and said I could come for 2 years, and they said come for 1 year. And so I was all ready to go. And God worked. By the time there's a whole things, a lot of things you have to do to be accepted. By the time I got my acceptance, it was the next summer, and I was back at camp. But God brought in all the funds I needed, like within 4 months, and I never spoke one time. I thought this was wonderful. He just poured in all the funds that I needed and gave me the visa I needed. Everything came, and I was able to go in November of 76 to Bangladesh as a short-term nurse. Now, that should have said to me, see, God was saying, see, I can do it. I will do it. You just have to follow me. But it didn't say that to me. So I went for 1 year, and I stayed for 3 because I kept saying no, no. Several of the other missionaries there would say, well, why don't you go home and apply? You know, come back full time. We really want you to be here. And I said, no, no, I'll just come short term. Well, finally, at the end of 3 years, they said, well, we're sorry. You can't come anymore short term. ABWE has a policy that you can only be here 2 years short term, and you've already been here 3. So we can't have you come anymore. But God used that and gave me a real love for the people. God opened up many other ministries while I was there. I worked with MK Awana. I worked with teaching literacy to ladies that could not read. And so I just had a real love for it. And so I finally said yes to God, came back, was in the 1980 class at ABWE, and I was accepted as a missionary. And I started my deputation, and as I went around, I was so nervous, I had to hang on to something to stay up here, you know. And I would hang on, and it was a very difficult time for me, but God did a marvelous thing. July was when I was appointed. I was on the field by May of 1981, less than a year. And it wasn't anything that I had done. I have no recollection of even what I said to people at that time. But God opened doors, just like coming to Allegheny. Why would Allegheny, New York, ask me to come and be here to speak? And why would they take on my support? But God opened up the doors to the right churches. And most of my churches have been very faithful, just as you have been, and giving support and prayer. So I went back full time, and God gave me a special verse for the time that I was going, and it was Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that's what I saw, God leading me. Now, I can't say that I didn't fear, because I did. I was fearful the whole way. But God was there and helped me and strengthened me and held me up as I was speaking. So I was there. God gave many more blessings. One of the things, how God uses your past for the future. As I came back as a full-timer, the team was trying to look into starting a camp ministry. We had not had a camp ministry up to that time. And they were going to start with girls' camp. God had given me 5 years of camping experience. And so I was able to help the train counselors, teach them different games that they could use. And we went to camp for the first couple years with the Bangladeshi leaders and to keep them going. And now camp is nationalized. It's all run by the national church, by the church leaders. And so that was one of our goals, was to be able to turn it over, and they are doing a great job. MK School. That was the other thing. You know, I wasn't going to be a teacher, but as I was there the 1 year, there was only 2 students for the MK School, and they were both in kindergarten. Both of their mothers said, I can't teach those little kids. I don't have patience to teach them. The very lady, the counselor that encouraged me to go short-term to Bangladesh, was now in Bangladesh as a full-time missionary with her family. She got married and had a family, and her daughter was one of them. And she knew that I liked little children, so she came and said, would you teach kindergarten? And I said, oh, okay, I can teach kindergarten. I worked it out with the medical staff so I'd have time off to teach kindergarten. And so that was the beginning of my teaching career for MKs. But again, you're teaching MKs, and there's only two or three, so it wasn't like teaching at all. It was just having fun. I continued for the next 12 years teaching in the MK school, and the last year that I was there, I was teaching 6th, 7th, and 8th grade Bible and math. So like every year, as the kids went up, I kept going up too. You know, I was gaining. I was getting a little more knowledge as I went. But by this time, in the year 2000, I had been there 23 years at the hospital. I knew what I was doing. I could do the work. You know, I had these extra ministries. I worked in the hospital. I worked in the outpatient department. I could run the outpatient department very well. There was no problem. Did you hear all the I's? I, and that was the problem. So God moved me. Now, I had a reason that I thought I was moving, a conviction that God gave me. But as I look back, that wasn't the reason God was moving me. God was moving me because I was no longer trusting in him. I was trusting in myself. I could do it, you know? I didn't need any help with this. And I could do it. And so Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so God took me from Bangladesh, of a country that's very small with lots of people and it's hot and humid, to Mongolia, a country that is very large with 3 million people, compared to 160 million, 3 million people, and it's cold. And why God took me there? I do know, because he was teaching me to trust in him. Now, I really wasn't excited about leaving Bangladesh. I really wanted to be there. So I just wanted to share this with you, a fleece. I put out a fleece. Now, I thought there was no way that God would be able to change this. The fleece that I was putting out, I would be going back to Bangladesh. I figured this out. I was talking to one of my fellow colleagues, and I said, well, you know, ABWE now says that everybody has to do a survey if they're going to a new field. They have to go out there and survey the field, see if they fit or something like that. And I said, I'm going to go. When I finish visiting here with you, I'm going down and I'm talking to our regional director. And if he says I have to do a survey, then I'll know God wants me to go back to Bangladesh. Now, doesn't that sound like I rigged it a little bit? So I went and was talking to the regional director, Bill Commons, and we were talking, and he said, well, do you think you need to make a survey? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he looked at me and said, no, I don't think you need to make a survey either. I thought, that's the policy. Everybody has to do that. So I went to Mongolia. God is in control, you know, and he can get you where he wants you to go, even when you try to go someplace else. So God was in charge of my life, and God took me to the field. We had two couples and two singles. And by the end of 2001, I think we were all there. And we were making plans for what we would do and how we would reach out to people. We had a training center. We already got it started. I was teaching English as a second language. And by 2004, the summer of 2004, I was the only missionary left with ABWE there. Now there are a lot of other missionaries, but I was the only one with ABWE there. God took them all away. For various reasons, they all had to return to the United States. God left me there alone, but he was there. and he was there with me. And then God was very gracious because he sent a retired couple. Their names are Jim and Esther. And they would come for 8 months of the year. They were older. They said, we can't take the cold weather. They had worked in the Philippines and Gambia, both of which are even hotter, I think, than Bangladesh. And so they said, no, the cold weather, we can't take that really cold weather. So for 3 years, they would come for 8 months and then go home and come for 8 months. But nobody wanted to come to Bangladesh or to Mongolia. We were waiting for someone to accept the call to Mongolia. Not one person that came to candidate class was even interested. And so in 2007, it was decided that we would go ahead and close our NGO. And I'm so thankful for Jim, because Jim came back. It was all this legal work. When you make an NGO, that's a non-government organization. You have all these legal things with the government, and that all had to be taken care of. And he came and helped me take care of all that, closing the bank account, putting in all the reports that we had to put in and show how we spent the money. And I mean, there was many things like that, and I'm so thankful for him. And so for the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, that I was there, God opened up a university position for me. And this was not just any university. It was a university that was started by Korean Christians. And even though it was a secular university, they encouraged you to witness to the students, to share your faith with the students. They had prayer meetings for students. They had a Sunday service for the students. And so it was a great place to work. And God gave me working with a different culture, even. Koreans are a little different than Americans. But it was a blessing from God. But then we closed that field, so there I was again, without any place to go. And I thought that I would go to Thailand, because we used to vacation in Thailand, and I thought, oh, that was a really nice place. I could go to Thailand. And that was, no, you're not going to Thailand. So I thought, well, how about Cambodia? And God said, no, that door closed also. I had to go back to Bangladesh. And so I ended up going back to Bangladesh, spent 2 years in Chittagong working at the William Carey Academy, and then God closed that door for me. It was no longer open, so I ended up back at the hospital. And I'm so glad that God took me back. I had 5 years there, getting reacquainted with hospital staff that was still there from the time that I was there before, missionaries that were still there from the time before, and then learning and meeting all the new missionaries. And God just gave me some very special times. I just wanted to share some of the very special blessings of the last term. And that is, God laid it on my heart to start a couple Bible classes. We have many different departments. We have about 360 employees in the hospital and many different departments. And most departments have either a devotional time every morning where they read scripture and pray. Some departments, because they're quite busy, they set aside a half hour time once a week and they get together and have a longer devotional time. And so most departments have this kind of thing, or else they go to chapel. The workshop goes to chapel. But there were two departments that I noticed didn't have anybody working with them or any kind of spiritual ministry with them, and that was the laundry and the sweepers. Now, the laundry workers and the sweepers are on the low income level. They're some of the lowest paid employees. And they're also, a lot of them are illiterate or semi-literate, and they also speak only Chittagonian, which is a dialect that's just in our area. But I had known many of them. I went first to the laundry. Now, you have to understand, in Bangladesh, relationships are very important. And so I went to the laundry workers, some of whom had been there in 1976 when I started working at the hospital. Others had been little children, and I had taken care of them in the outpatient department. And so when I said to them, oh, would you like to have a Bible class with me? Would you like me to have a Bible class? There was no way they could say no. They had to say yes, because I had this relationship with them. And so we started a Bible class. Now, I can't speak Chittagonian very well. In fact, I can't really speak it at all. And so I got a helper, one of our evangelists. Her name is Shuniti, and she came. And you could just tell the difference. Well, I would introduce the topic, the subject, or what we were going to learn that day, and they all would sit there like, And then she would start talking in Chittagonian, explain things, and their eyes got bright, and they started responding. And so we did that for about a year, and then God laid it on my heart that we had new nurses there. And it's very difficult to get into a ministry as a new person. You don't have that relationship. So one of the new nurses, Rachel, was actually supervising that department. And so I said to her, well, you know, I think you could take over. Why don't you take over this Bible class? And then you'll get to know the workers better. And Shuniti does a great job teaching. You just have to kind of work with her and, you know, choose what we're going to study and things like that. So she did that. So then I went to the sweepers. And it's the same with the sweepers. They had been there for years and years, or else they had been children. And so when I said, oh, would you like to have a Bible class with me? They said, yes. And so we had one, and this time they were all men. So I chose, his name is Bidan. He's the Bible correspondence worker, the man that goes out and talks to all students that are doing their correspondence courses, Bible courses. And so he started teaching them with me. And once again, I turned it over to a new missionary after we had done it for a year. And that missionary had to go on furlough, but Bidan has continued the classes. He is persevering with these people, because the saddest thing is we had, each group had at least 2 years of teaching, and the gospel message was reinforced time and time again. Most of them, the sweepers, all of them are unbelievers. Not one of them is a Christian. In the laundry department, about eight are, and eight are not Christians, and four are Christians. We didn't see one person say, yes, I want Christ as my Savior. And that is a very hard thing, but Bidan is carrying on. And so if you would pray for him as he continues working there with the sweepers. I would just like to challenge you, taking a look at your life and seeing how God has blessed you. It has been a great exercise for me, because we often forget the things that God has done in the past. And then also to consider missions. You can be at any age. We have retirees that keep coming. We have one doctor, he's probably in his mid-70s now, and he comes back every year to work for just a few months there for us. There, besides the medical work, we need theological educators. We have visa slots for people to teach in our Bible college. We need workshop mechanics and carpentry and welding, all these things we have to do on our own, because we have a big operation there. And so that agriculture is another open door. We have a little agricultural program going, and because of that, the man that's in charge, the Bangladeshi, has been asked to come into schools, the government schools, and to teach agriculture, and that gives him an in with the students and in the schools. There's AV, there's English as a second language, there's computers, and that is a big need that we have, is for someone with computer knowledge, IT person. We are trying to go to electronic nurse or notes or electronic patient charts, but we don't have someone that can troubleshoot when things go wrong, and things go wrong a lot in Bangladesh. These people have very little computer training. Most of them have not worked on computers except a little bit that they would get there at the hospital, and so this is a big need that we have. Some prayer requests just before I leave. I shared it this morning in the Sunday school class. Our field chairman, his name is Harold Ebersol, came home for a short furlough and started getting ill. And he was very, very sick. He got to the place that he couldn't stand and couldn't walk, and he finally decided he needed to see a doctor. And he went, and he has leukemia. It's the kind that can be treated. They've already given him the first two chemo things, but he's still very weak, still getting blood because his red count won't go up, his hemoglobin count won't go up. So pray for him, because he not only was our field chairman, he was the hospital administrator. He was the man that worked with the churches, and the church leaders would always come to him when they had problems. He just took care of many different things on the field. And now they're having to divide all these jobs up between the people that are left there who already had more jobs than they could handle. And then a prayer request for myself. As I travel, I'm still having some vision problems and have a difficulty sometimes seeing the road signs and knowing when I'm supposed to turn or get off the interstate. And so if you just pray for me for that. I have a short video. It's about the hospital. It's called Need for Nurses. We do need some nurses. We have 24, though, national nurses that will be graduating in August, and that will help fill up the need we have for national nurses, but there's still a need for expat nurses.